Okay, for today, the, chosen to speak something that, about something that affects all of us, and that is our speech, our words. Some of us are more wordy than others are. Some of us have got more of the gift of gab than others, I guess, if you want to call it that. We tend to talk more. And some of us just depends on the situation whether we talk more or not. Some people feel like some people are quiet people, but when the conditions are right, they just rattle, which there's neither right nor wrong in necessarily in that, whether we have got a lot to say or whether we don't. Maybe after the message, maybe we'll sort of feel like maybe we should be more, should maybe not have quite so much to say all the time. But someone has said, and we'll be going in Proverbs, several places in Proverbs and jumping around different places, but someone has said that there are more proverbs on our words, our tongue, and our speech than any other subject. Now, I have not necessarily studied this to be exact, so I can't prove it, but I think that should still tell us that we as humanity have got a problem with our tongue, our words, and controlling our words. And of course, I'm not going to get into the debate whether men or women talk more than the other. That's not where I'm going with that. We all have a responsibility to use our words appropriately to edify one another. And that's why God invented speech. So that we can, first of all, talk to God and also to each other. So that we can edify each other. It was just within the last couple of weeks, I actually heard a couple of remarks from other people talking about someone else of saying words that they didn't feel were appropriate and that they didn't feel like they needed to hear those words. And maybe that is why or how this message came about. And as we go through this, we will find out that it's not not just what we say. Sometimes it's what we hear. And so therefore, if we're not paying attention, sometimes we miss what's going on. And I apologize, well, I don't really, but there seems like there's a lot going on back there. It really distracts when someone is trying to preach a message and people are talking back and forth and they're not paying attention. Could we please pay attention? Okay? Thank you for that. And this message is also, I borrowed a lot of this message from someone else. It's not all original with me. But I have 3 points that I'd like to talk about today. And number one is why our words matter. Number two is what our words reflect. And number three, how our words can be blessed. So, number one, why our words matter? And they matter for at least three reasons. The effect of our words on others. We'll go to Proverbs chapter 18. In verse 21, he says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So from this we see that the tongue is the means by which we bring the greatest help, and we also bring the greatest harm to the lives of others. And death is in the power of the tongue. Do we realize that? Death is in the power of the tongue. The tongue is a weapon that can wound someone, can wound another person deeply. And we carry this weapon with us every day. So think about this. If you carry a weapon that can wound someone, we need to carry it with great care. With great care. So remember that our tongue is a weapon that can wound. And Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 says that there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. The Easy English Version says, careless words can cut like a sharp knife. Careless words. That's like really wounding someone. Cutting words. Words that are blurted out without thought often bring painful wounds. They are like piercings of a sword. And I imagine a lot of us have felt that already in our lives. Someone has said some cutting words to us that hurt us, and we remember them probably still to this day. The effect of it remains with us. Words like, you'll never amount to anything. Things like that should never be said. Death is in the power of the tongue. It cuts down. And also, Jesus quotes the sixth commandment in the Sermon on the Mount. If we go to Matthew 5, verses 21 and 22, he says, ye have heard that it was said of them of old, by them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But Jesus says, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, or empty one, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. The Bible says, someone demeaning another person shall be in danger of hellfire. To bring someone else down. Sometimes we hear the remark that somebody's up on a high horse, they need to be brought down. Is that really true? Is that said in love for doing that? We can readily agree with the first part, that if you kill someone, then you will be in danger of the judgment. But Jesus is saying that abusive speech that belittles and diminishes another person is in a violation of this commandment. It's just as bad as outright killing someone. Death by words. And God will hold us accountable for this. If angry words that insult or diminish another person are in violation of the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill, then we might be closer to breaking that commandment than we think. What are our words? What are we saying? Proverbs makes it very clear that death or deep wounds are in the power of the tongue, but also life is in the power of the tongue, not just death. Life is there also. The last part of Proverbs, the 12, verse 18, he says, but the tongue of the wise is health. It's health. We can bring health. We can bring encouragement. We can bring life by our words, words of encouragement, words of thankfulness for someone has done or is doing for us, words of affirmation, pleasant words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and the reason that our words matter is that they have a profound effect, for better or for worse, on the lives of those to whom we speak. Are you bettering the lives of those around you with your speech, with what you have to say. Number two, the second reason that our words matter is that they also have a profound effect on our own lives. Going back to the verse 21 there, life and death is in the power of the tongue, and then the latter part of that is, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. It has an effect on each one of us. The words that we speak will have an effect on other people, but also have its effect on our own lives. What comes out of us also goes down deep inside of us. In fact, if we look at verse 20 there in chapter 18, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. I think that that could also mean the words that we say, the words that come out of our mouth, not just the food. Angry words may insult another person, but as it assaults another person, it will go down into the depths of your own soul and will assault you. And that bitter fruit will make your own soul sick. We say, we eat our words. We eat our own words. We eat our own words as they come out of us. They go also deep inside into us. In other words, after you have really told someone off or just really let them have it, how do you feel? How do you really feel about that? After you settle down a bit, generally we regret what we had to say, don't we? It makes us sick. You feel sick. Those words went down into your soul and made you sick because you realized that that was not the way that you should have done. So we see that the power of the tongue is the means by which we bring the greatest blessing or harm to others. It also is the means by which we bring the greatest blessing or harm to ourselves. And I believe that's also why Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 2, with what measure ye meet shall be measured to you again. It will come around. If you speak destruction to others, you will speak destruction to yourself. If you speak life into others, into the lives of others, you will also speak life into your own soul. The third reason that our words matter is because of the effect of our words before God, before Almighty God. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." Verse 37, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." By our own words before God. God will not only hold us accountable for what we did, for our works, or the lack thereof, but also for the words that we have said. Freedom of speech is a wonderful gift, but it is also a very awesome opportunity, or responsibility, I should say, responsibility. Remember, our tongue is a weapon that can wound. We will give an account for every idle or careless word that we speak, and God is keeping track of all of those. Every word that we speak. If we get to before judgment and we think we've done all right, but if there's some words that we have not taken care of, words that we have said that have not been blotted out, they can stand against us at the judgment. But once we see that God is keeping track of all of our words, that should cause us to think And I believe we will probably say with the Apostle Paul, where he said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body, from the body of this death?" He was talking about the war between the flesh and the spirit, of trying to do the right thing. The flesh is warring against the spirit. There's a war going on. And then we also realize our need of a Savior to help us speak wholesome words. All right, the second part, what our words reflect. And here there are 4 points. And number one is speaking with restraint. We need to speak with restraint. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28. "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." Notice the difference between the righteous and the wicked. The righteous studieth, or ponders, or thinks about what to say or how to answer. But the wicked poureth out evil things. Words just come out without restraint or filter. They just pour out. And of course, we live in a culture where self-expression seems to be very important. Too important, I might add. We need to be expressing Christ Jesus in all that we do and say. Well, people say, "Well, I have to say what I think." Do you really? Is it that important? What are you hoping to gain by telling people what you think? Did or does what you think bring honor and glory to God? Is it a blessing to others? Proverbs 29, verse 11 says, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." I think we should pray, "Lord, help me to think before I speak." Proverbs has some more for us on this. Chapter 17, verse 27. "He that hath knowledge spareth his words. A man of understanding is of an excellent spirit." And also chapter 10, verse 19. "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." A woman once told her pastor when she was a student in college, she was engaged to a young man that, looking back now, she sees very clearly that that would have not brought honor and glory to God. Although she didn't see it at the time, she thought this was the man. But her father saw something in that young man that concerned him. So one night when he came to her room and he said, "Just be sure that everything that you see in this young man is what you want to live with the rest of your life." Then he said, "I love you," and he left the room. By the end of that week, she had broken the engagement and ended the relationship. Sometime later, she met the man that she is happily married to and that she is so thankful for, a wise father, thinking back on what could have been. Now, the question is for us as fathers, would we have had the restraint to just say the right words? Would we have had the wisdom to do that? Or would we have gone into a long discussion about all the things that are wrong with this young man and just on and on and on and on, how this will not work? That father had wisdom. "He that hath knowledge spareth his words." or he that refraineth his lips is wise. Restraint. Sometimes we need to use restraint. Number two, speaking with humility. My wife just told me this morning that she just hates to hear someone bragging on themselves. And I told her, well, some of that might come out in the message today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 2. Let another man praise you and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. It's hard to brag on yourself when you have humility. It just doesn't happen. Remember in Luke 18 when Jesus was talking about the Pharisee and the publican that went to the temple to pray. The Pharisee basically just sings his own praises on what all he does. He fasts twice a week or whatever it is and gives alms and he's glad he's not like other people. Things like that. But the publican just had a simple prayer, a simple request. But he went to his house justified. I wonder really how the Pharisee felt when he left there. He probably still felt pretty good that he went to the house of God to worship. But it wasn't justified by God. In verse 14, in chapter 18 there, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. Speaking with humility. Number three, speaking with wisdom. There are two proverbs that describe the essence of wisdom in our words. And maybe we could explain it this way. The right word spoken at the right time in the right way will always be powerful and effective. You think about that. The right words said at the right time in the right way will always bring a blessing. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, a word spoken in due season, how good it is. And then Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. The right word spoken in the right way at the right time is a beautiful picture, and it will bring blessings to those that hear it. The words that you speak might be right, but if they are spoken with a harsh spirit, which isn't the right way or the right time, what good will it do? It won't work the way it's supposed to, even though it might have been the right word. But if it wasn't done in the right way, with the right attitude or the right spirit, then it won't help. Again, the right word spoken in the right way at the right time will be a great blessing. Number four, speaking with grace. Proverbs chapter 16. Verse 24, pleasant, or we could put in gracious, words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Or chapter 15, verse 1, it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And then verse 4, a wholesome or a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therewith is a breach in the spirit. And verse 26, the words of the pure are pleasant words. And in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. If we always speak with grace, we will always know what words to say and how to say them and when to say them. And also, let's never think that soft words or gracious words or gentle words are weak words. They are not. They are strong words. If we go to Proverbs chapter 25, verse 15, by long forbearing, or we could say patience, is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. A soft tongue breaketh the bone. Think about this. A soft tongue or gracious tongue or gentle tongue is stronger than bone. You can vent and rage, but you will gain very little in the long run. Also, was it not God's grace that brought us to repentance, that changed our hearts of stone? God's gentleness. How about Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, before his conversion? He was a violent man with a heart of stone, but he says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. His grace that he experienced, the grace of God that came to him, changed him and made him totally different. It was the grace of God and his gentleness that has made us what we are. Have you ever thought about that? If it wouldn't be for the grace of God, where would we be? It's really a terrible thought, just to be honest. We're so thankful for the grace of God. All right, number the third deal, how can our words be blessed? How can we grow? How can our words be more life-giving? How can we overcome habits of the past that have been destructive to others? And here I think what I referred to earlier, it begins with an open ear, listening before we speak. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and a shame to him. Have we done that? Some of us, our minds go real fast, and before we even hear a whole matter, we've already come up with a solution. Have we answered before we heard? I dare say most of us have probably done that sometime or other. James chapter 1, verse 19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Your words will become a blessing to others if you become a good listener. And as important as that is, we also need to be listening to the Word of God. Again, Proverbs 22, verses 17 and 18. He says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Verse 18, for it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within thee. If thou keep them within thee, they shall withal be fitted in thy lips. I believe the words of the wise, I think he's talking about there the Word of God. The Word of God. If we listen to the Word of God and then hide it in our hearts, then we will be in the position to speak in a way that will reflect the will of God, and it will be a blessing to those that hear. Isaiah 50, verses 4 and 5, he says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. That sounds like something I think all of us would want to have. To be able to speak the right word at the right time, in the right way, to someone that is weary. To build them up. To say something to someone that is struggling, that is sustaining and life-giving. To build them up. So how will that happen? How do we achieve that? How do we get to that point? So let's look at the next part of that verse. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened my ear. Having an open ear. Isaiah says, the Lord has given me the tongue that knows how to sustain the weary. So how did he receive that gift? He says, the Lord awakens me every morning. I believe that every morning he had an appointment with God. Do we have an appointment with God every morning? I must say that I have missed my appointment too many times. A daily discipline of hearing the word of God and hiding it in our hearts so that when we go through the day, we will be able to speak a word to a person that is weary. Someone once said that this morning by morning appointment is a standard curriculum for every disciple of Christ. That should be a part of our lives. Are we true disciples of Jesus Christ? How important is his word to us? Do we just read it when we have time, extra time? Or do we read it all the time? Do we read the Bible instead of a good storybook? Do we read the Bible? Now, I'm talking to myself. Do we read the Bible instead of watching a movie? It's a challenge. It's a challenge. The way the life-giving tongue begins, the way to the life-giving tongue begins through the open ears. Then it goes through a pure heart. It settles in to the pure heart. Proverbs 16, verse 23, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Our speech is shaped out of our heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So it comes out from within. Our words will reveal the state of our hearts. James chapter 3 tells us that no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So only God can tame the tongue. And the reason that only God can tame the tongue is because only God can change the heart. It needs to happen inside first. And it's the change in the heart that will bring about the change in the tongue. So notice that the ear teaches the heart, and the heart instructs the lips. The Word of God, we immerse ourselves in the Word of God. We listen to God through our ears. It comes in and it goes to our heart and it changes our heart. And then it comes back out and changes our tongue to where we only out of the abundance of our heart is where what comes out. If our heart is full of the love of God with compassion, thankfulness, all the good things, then that's what will come out. But we have to be instructed from God. So how can our words be blessed? It's with an open ear, a pure heart, and a cleansed mouth. So as we bring this message to a close here, I'm reminded of Isaiah 6, verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. We are all unclean until God changes us. He can change us if we let God speak to us daily and allow him to purify our hearts, and through that our words will be like apples of gold in pictures of silver. It can be a beautiful picture. Let's kneel to pray.